Hi, welcome back to the Career Transition Podcast. My name is Nada Bohendi. I'm a master career coach.
And oh my goodness, I cannot believe that this is episode one of season two. I wanted to take a moment to thank you all for tuning in and supporting this podcast. I am super excited, and let's keep the momentum. Let's share with people who are miserable in their career, who want to up-level and grow. That is the main reason I decided to do this podcast, is because I was a corporate zombie, miserable, feeling so trapped in my career. And I felt so alone, especially as someone who immigrated to Canada, and I felt that the grass was greener. It was just such a difficult time for me. And because I felt so alone, I can understand, you know, how people who are navigating their career feel. And so while I'm not able to open up my community to every single person out there, this gave me the idea to create this podcast so that I can serve people and help them change their lives. And today we have with me John, who's going to facilitate the conversation and pull the genius out of my head.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. Collaboration is the best way to go forward. And with our careers as well, when we work with people, especially a coach, to collaborate together, they can pull the genius out of us. And so that when we're either putting something on a resume or interviewing, our best self comes out. And today we're going to talk about identifying your MVP ideal job. Before getting into it, can you tell us why we titled the episode to this?
I know it sounds like super scientific, and I guess this is my geeky side of being a product manager and agile coach who's been involved in building, you know, up to $1 billion basically products. The concept basically comes from agility. It stands for minimal viable product. And of course, for my agile folks who know this, this is all about getting products out there and not spending too much time trying to perfect them. Because if you do that, you're just going to be stuck in a hamster wheel when the best way to make a product successful is to test it out, to work in iterations. So I actually came up with that concept also for careers. There's a lot of fear around getting our next job perfect. Oh my goodness, if I take this job, my entire career trajectory is doomed. And actually, that is not true. So this is where the concept comes from. And I'm so excited to dig into this.
Me too. Well, you started with talking a little bit about the idea of career transition and finding this ideal job. And one topic that you talk about in your program is navigating your career one lily pad at a time. And I love, especially it being very similar to entrepreneurship, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, it actually came from one of my clients, Rachel Blackburn, who coined this term. Of course she did, because, you know, she comes from a background of academia as a professor in theater. Her and I were working on helping her figure out what her next move is, going from basically almost a lifetime of being a professor, being involved in the world of academia, to figuring out how she can transition into the corporate world. So she was a very grounded person, and she understood the idea that her next, you know, transition is not going to be like, oh my God, I found my forever soulmate and I will permanently, you know, live happily for after with them. I mean, her and I also joked about the fact that, you know, even when you find someone romantically, they're Mr. or Mrs. right now, you know, this whole fantasy of, oh, we got to find the absolutely perfect partner, or we have to find the absolutely, you know, perfect job is what gets us into trouble. So what I tell people is, yeah, you actually should not find the permanent, absolute perfect job, because if you do, then you're not growing. So you want to actually navigate your career one lily pad at a time to get to your next goal, which is actually going to keep iterating as your life changes, as your circumstances changes. as you grow as a human being.
That makes so much sense. And there's so much stats right now that say that people are not necessarily doing the job that they went to. That's what they studied for. And the fact that people are listening right now looking for a career transition means that as they've grown as people, and so therefore what they're interested in for their career has also grown or shifted as well. Imagine if they landed their ideal thing and they were stuck in it for the rest of their career. That just wouldn't make a lot of sense unless they were people who didn't grow themselves. But that's not what's happening. People are growing and changing all the time. And one lily pad will bring us to the next lily pad.
Yeah, it is so funny that you say that, because if I knew what I know now when I was an 18-year-old trying to figure out what school to get into and what degree to get, I mean, my goodness, like, we're doing a podcast right now. Like, who knows? Maybe I would have decided to get into multimedia. Maybe I would have decided to go into marketing. Like, is there a degree that combines like everything that we're doing right now and what I'm actually doing in my career as a career coach? Most people tell me that when they go to school, they don't use probably 70% of what they've learned. So that goes to show right there.
Mm-hmm. And you are a prime example. If anybody feels like they're a little bit sad that they're not in their final destination or they don't know where they're going, a couple of years ago, Nada didn't know that she was going to be a career coach. It's not like this was in the plan the whole time. And she planned this grand plan of going to all these corporate jobs so that she could be a career coach one day. It didn't work out that way. So all of us have a lot of hope to get into something that is the right fit for us as well. Speaking of that, there was the career archetype quiz that we talked about a couple of episodes ago, and that's an integral part of your program. Can you talk to us about what happened after the career archetype quiz takes place and when people are a little bit more certain of what to look for?
Absolutely. So going into the product analogy, whether it is a physical product or a digital product, when we try to figure out, you know, what products we should build, you know, we need to do some discovery first. And this is the same thing, except it's for ourselves. We need to do a discovery to understand what it is that we want right now. I call it our decision-making criteria. So if you haven't watched this season one, then stop now and go watch it, because this is going to be a huge spoiler. If you have, then great. So when we do the career archetype quiz, what it does is it gives you a set of questions and it forces you to kind of come up with some kind of decision-making criteria in terms of what job you should select. Most of the time, when people either they get laid off or they've been in a job that they hate for a long time, it's kind of like being in a relationship where you've plateaued and you've lost yourself. And you have no idea who you are because you've been so busy people-pleasing that person. And so you need to, you know, take a break, even if you think you know what you want, and just go through that career archetype quiz to come up with that decision-making criteria before you start searching on jobs. Because what's going to happen? If you start searching for jobs and applying, you're going to get imposter syndrome. You're going to start seeing all of the criteria and you're going to start questioning yourself. You may not be in the right mindset to realize that you are actually amazing and you're capable. And it's just going to completely confuse you. It's like going to a store. It's like one of those annoying customers who go into a store and have no idea what they want. And then they spend forever in the store and walk out with nothing. Don't be that annoying person.
Or at least we don't want to frustrate ourselves by allowing ourselves to be in that position. So how many times have we wanted to go shopping? We didn't know what we were looking for. We leave empty-handed and there goes 2 hours of our day when we wanted an outcome, but we didn't get that outcome. And so The goal is definitely for us to have the intentionality to be able to get the result of what we're looking for if we're going to figure out what we're going to do with our career.
Absolutely. So going back, you know, I joke a lot, but going back. So career archetype quiz, you figure out what you want. You have a set of criteria. in terms of what that job needs to be like, from a types of problems you want to solve, from like if you want to solve people problems, process problems, what kind of social impact you want to make, the size of the organization. Do you work well in a startup, in a, you know, big company? We really get super detailed. Now that we have a decision-making criteria, what I do based on the results is I provide recommendations on types of roles that would fit for people. So, for example, someone comes to me and I realize based on their career archetype that they would thrive in maybe product manager roles as well as customer success roles, right? So now we have to narrow it down. And this is where the science comes in. This is where we're approaching it in a scientific manner, where we're testing a hypothesis and going through narrowing down to one ideal job, or what I call a model job that we're going to target the branding against so that we attract similar opportunities, regardless of the title, that would align with that. So the approach that I give my clients is to look at job postings. Now, I am totally spilling out a huge, like, trade secret here. I love using Google Jobs. A lot of people search for jobs on LinkedIn. Sorry, LinkedIn, we may be in your platform, but you're not that great for job search. Google has an unbeatable search algorithm. It uses AI and machine learning, and it actually suggests roles not based on the title of what you enter, but based on likeness, based on the similar roles and responsibilities. So you may actually discover jobs that you've never heard of with different titles that could marry two job families and take the pieces that you like, out of each. And come up with a completely different role that you never heard of. That's what I love about Google Jobs. So what I get my clients to do is after, you know, they come up with the decision-making criteria and I give them the options in terms of roles, they search on job postings for those roles. They look at the job postings and they score them against their decision-making criteria. So I have a proprietary scoring matrix that makes it super easy for people to basically not just by intuition, but by actual facts to narrow down the types of roles that they want. And then once we narrow it down, we basically start the branding process.
So cool. There's so many steps in this. If you guys felt a little bit overwhelmed, do not worry. As you can tell, Nada knows this like the back of her hand. And these are all normal steps to go through. And this is the benefit of working with a career coach, because you don't have to feel like you need to understand the process of all of this. You get to go through it being led by somebody with guidance on how to do all of these things well to get the accurate result. Because as Nada mentioned, this is quite scientific. And there's so many reasons why what Nada does works. And you can get the ideal job that you're looking for or more pay. And it's because we're going through the process like this. Now, there is this thing also at the end of the process of this avatar, this new persona that a person would be able to have. Can you speak a little bit more on that?
Yes. So I tell people that when they are going through a career transition, again, career transition doesn't mean that you're completely changing your job. It could also mean that you're up-leveling into a role that you've never done before. I recommend that you treat it like an actor treats playing a character. I think you shared with me it's called method acting, right?
Yes.
It actually reminds me of what I read about Heath Ledger, who played the Joker in one of the Batman movies. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that, but he locked himself in a room at a hotel room, poring through comic books in order to understand how the Joker speaks, the tone, everything, the mannerisms, all of that, in order to portray the character very accurately. There are many studies that have shown that people who become high performing, they change their mindsets and behaviors to match what, you know, that new role or that level is, right? Think someone who's like, I don't know, playing in a local basketball game, right? Or some athlete who's playing locally. In order for them to be able to compete in the Olympics, they have to embrace the mannerisms of, you know, the diet, waking up early, the discipline, the way they speak, all of that. So that's what I teach my clients to do. So that basically is learning also the vocabulary of how your new profession speaks. And that comes with surrounding yourself with people who are already playing this role, which is why I have a community for that. This is why my community is something that skyrockets people's success, because the alumni who have already achieved these roles, or sometimes there are people who are more senior than others, people just, you know, absorb the energy by osmosis. They learn from each other. And it's way better than just reading about in a certification or reading about it in YouTube. Mm-hmm. Starting to interact with these people helps you learn the vocabulary and learn how they think so that you start speaking and behaving like them. And so you become believable in the interview.
Wow. It makes me think of almost something like immigration. You know, when you go somewhere, let's say as a tourist, people can tell that you're a tourist. There is a very evident way that you're walking or interacting that makes it seem that way. And so it's not a fit. And if we interview that way as well, then it's very obvious to the hiring manager that we're not a fit. But if we can know how to adapt the behaviors of the place that we're at, and it's almost conceivable that we are a native of that place, then it's so wonderful. But as somebody who's transitioning from one thing to another thing without much idea what that new environment is like, how could that integration actually happen? And you provide the opportunity through your community, which is so cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, just yesterday, something that not a lot of people know is that apart from just all of the process that people go through, basically identifying their ideal job and rebranding and working on their interviews, I actually have an internal project within my community where people build, you know, a podcast and a landing page and a digital learning product so that they can experience, especially if they've never played these roles, they can actually get the hands-on experience. And yesterday, you know, we had a situation during our little, you know, group meeting where one of my clients asked me, like, in an actual, you know, live situation, like, what does a designer do? What does a product manager do? And it was kind of funny because they were already behaving the right way. But that just goes to show that it is very important to not just read, you know, certifications or just watch videos. You got to surround yourself as well, especially as you're going through a career transition where you have a lot of imposter syndrome. You got to surround yourself with the people that you aspire to become.
Absolutely. And it makes all the difference. Before we get into our typical Q&A at the end of the episode, is there anything else about this topic that you want to wrap up for us, or should we get into the Q&A?
I think we can get into the Q&A.
Okay, awesome. So somebody from your community asks, I tend to get into analysis paralysis. There are so many options out there. How can I possibly choose?
I do have a lot of analytical people in my community. I would say about 70% of my community members are within tech and 30% are outside of tech. And the 70% who are within tech tend to be on the overly analytical side. So I think, you know, it is normal to go through that. But it is also important to lean on our tuition as well. And I think the exercises, and again, if people didn't watch, you know, the first season, I definitely encourage you to watch them. We totally discount the importance of understanding our fears and what triggers us. And I tend to find that analysis paralysis is because A, we're terrified. So our brain is going into reactive mode. We're all over the place. We've had trauma. Our judgment is being clouded. B is because we do not have a decision-making criteria. And we do not have a if we do not have a decision-making criteria, then we are going to go into analysis paralysis because we have no idea what we prioritize. But when we do, our decisions come quicker. And the third thing is not having a support system or a sounding board. Because I can go into analysis paralysis sometimes where I overthink things. And I have to work with mentors and coaches who remind me that I'm overthinking things. And this is why when my clients go through this exercise of figuring out their ideal job, I actually get them to post in my Ask for Help channel in my Slack, where they would talk out their ideas. Just say them out loud, get them out of their head. Things like, I don't know if I want to do this job or that job, or has anyone done this job? Has anyone been in that situation? And while a lot of people end up sharing, actually, the simple act of writing it down and feeling heard helps my clients get a lot of clarity.
So good. And once again, this is why working with a coach is so important. And Nada walks her talk as well. She has coaches and she sought people who helps her become who she is today. And this is why she loves coaching other people. Now, second question we have is, I'm going to actually read it directly. It says, hey, folks, I have a question. So on paper, based on my experience, I've got 15 years under my belt, which have set me up to accelerate into the next level. But I'm nervous about my new persona, which is still in the same field. I'm wondering how I might best align to the new persona, if I have some anxiety about putting on these quote unquote future me shoes. What does that make sense? Has anyone felt this way before? Future self is like Captain America. I'm nervous because I feel small and puny mentally. So I wondered how others travel towards stepping into their superhero personas because I'm searching for my serum. I love the analogy. I'm going over my chunks of 10 as a starting place. Wow, what a great question. And also look at how much vulnerability and openness people can be in Nada's community. This was exactly a question that was directly brought out from there.
Yeah. You can tell that this person is extremely intelligent from the way that he asked that question. Mm. And to me, it's like, dude, if you're able to articulate yourself with such depth, you should not be worried at all. And I think the listeners will agree with me as they hear this. But that also goes to show that even the most successful and brilliant people deal with this day in, day out. And so this person is a designer and he's a very experienced person. He's done so many things. And the interesting thing was, my question to him was, what is causing you to feel like you are not already a superhero? And so he listed a few things in the job posting that were triggering him to feel that way. Things around mentoring other designers and, you know, doing all kinds of things. And then as he listed them out, I'm telling you, within 5 seconds, he wrote right after, I guess I did all these things. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. And then other people jumped in and they shared as well that the fear is what causes them to doubt themselves in interviews, even though they know the answer. And others also chimed in, you know, sharing that they meditate or they do other things, therapy, you know, that and acknowledge that the barrier is not necessarily skill set, but it's actually mindset. Mm. There's a little saying that I actually found, which is kind of cool. I think I saw it the other day from an influencer. And he shared that imposter syndrome may actually not be that you're trying to be humble. It's actually because of your ego. You're scared of making a fool of yourself. And that is ego-driven. There's nothing humble about being scared of making a fool of yourself.
So true.
That is something that I want people to remember, because I get people who come to me after they go through this, you know, exercise, and then they'll start looking at the job posting. Some people get excited. Other people, especially if they're not in the right mindset, get triggered. They'll say things like, oh, this job posting requires 10 years of experience, and the exact experience I have is only 6. Oh my God, I'm a failure. I can't do this, you know, et cetera. So it really depends on whether you are a glass full person or a half empty person. And sometimes you need to be reminded of your greatness.
So as you can all tell by listening to this, this isn't just a program where you go through to try to figure out what your ideal job is because of a wonderful quiz or because of really smart exercises, which will give you the reflection. This is also hands-on coaching for the mental and emotional stuff, because going through a job search and landing your ideal job is like a roller coaster. And doing it ourselves can be awfully lonely and oftentimes not getting the result that we want. But being able to have a coach, someone who's been seeing hundreds of people through the same thing, they'll be able to guide you, or not as specifically, will be able to guide you through this whole journey, and you'll have a community of people cheering you on. So I can't imagine anything else better than that. If this is really resonating with you, there's a link right below this in the show notes. It will lead you to the application page for Nada's program. You'll even go through a little questionnaire to figure out whether this is right for you or not, and have an opportunity for you to go towards the dream of your futures, getting the right support for you.
Absolutely. And after listening to this episode, if you have any questions and if you'd like to get your questions answered, I definitely invite you to my LinkedIn Live Q&As. I run them weekly on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make it, that is okay too. Perhaps you can send me the questions ahead of time, whether it's through DM or through email, and we can make sure that we can include your questions as well, and you can listen to the answers in the replay.
Exactly. So Nada's LinkedIn profile link is in the show notes below. Click on it, follow her, engage with her content. She posts so many wonderful, beautiful things, and send her a DM if you cannot make it to the live. But every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, she's going to go live. And this is your best time to get one-on-one time with her to get your questions answered. The next episode, we're going to talk about the truth of resume bots. And I know there's a lot of different things out there that people are thinking, and Nada's going to take us behind the veil of what's really going on. I cannot wait to talk about it. Thank you for giving us all this information today, Nada.
Absolutely. And see you in the next episode.
It's the success.
Not only to think, but to act outside of the box.
You need a coach to help guide you on what your sweet spot is.
What you do works, period.